And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Wow, do we ever have prophecy today? And we're going to have some secrets today. Would you like to know some secrets? Well, we've got a few here. And man, I tell you, did you know that the royalty and the elite of Europe used to dine on human flesh? They were cannibals. There's a new book out that explains all. It's incredible. Think about it. British, the king, the queen, I mean, they're cannibals. They may be today. A lot of people claim that a lot of cannibalism and evil things. Boy, that's something. And hey, our FBI chief, you know, James Comey was, well, he was disgraced and he left and he was angry and he leaked documents to his friend who, of course, went over to the, I think it was the New York Times. James Comey evidently has been leaking things for quite a while. What a crud he is. But he left his number two man, who's a big pal of Obama's. He left his number two man, Andrew McCabe, in charge as acting director of the FBI while Trump was out looking for a new director. So this Andy or Andrew McCabe is the acting chief of the FBI, but it looks like he's a leaker and he's doing a lot of crooked things too. Wow. So we're going to talk about Andrew McCabe a little bit. I got a letter from a lady over in the country of Greece. And she's a medical doctor and a clinical neurologist. She takes care of the brain. And she's going to talk about psychopaths. She sent me a letter. It's quite an interesting letter. Hey, did you know they have a goddess they worship in Chicago? Yeah, we're going to talk about the god of corn and oil. Well, she's up in Chicago. They have a big statue right downtown. I've seen it myself. Have you ever been to Chicago? Well, you probably don't want to go, but in any case, if you do, look for the statue of the goddess. Then I hope we have some time because there's a pastor who's been arrested. Seems like he had a drug lab going. They've been making drugs and selling them locally. I don't know whether he couldn't get enough tithes and offerings from the people or not, but he even got the people of the church working on it. Jerry here is my assistant today. In fact, he's here every time we do a program. But I've asked Jerry Barrett to give us a little report on that. Boy, I tell you, it's amazing. Sir Jerry's going to talk about that in a few minutes. And we've just got so much for you, so let's just go right ahead to it. Now, first of all, this Bernie Sanders. Get the burn, they say, you know. Bernie Sanders, he's 74 years old, and it looks like he would have beaten Hillary, but then Hillary cheated, rigged the election. But Sanders didn't mind too much because, you know, he evidently the Democrat National Committee secretly or privately provided him some goodies and said, now, you don't squeal on us, you don't tell everybody, we'll give you some goodies. I'm not kidding you. The Democrat National Committee gave Bernie Sanders a new airplane, a jet. Think about it. Gave him a brand new jet and said, now, don't tell everybody what we did to you, shafting you. We rigged the election for Hillary. So they paid off Bernie with an aircraft. And they gave him a $600,000 house. So he had a big new house and a big new aircraft. But meanwhile, there's some other stuff coming out. It seems like he's on this congressional committee, and evidently the president, President Trump, had nominated a guy for a position. And he's going to be second ranking in some high office. I can't remember what. But Sanders didn't like it because the guy turns out to be a Christian. You know, there are not many Christians in Congress. A lot of them claim they are. But Sanders asked this guy. Now, he's, you know, he went up for confirmation, went before the committee. So Sanders asked him some questions. Sanders had heard that this guy was a Christian. He said, are you a Christian? And the guy said, yes. Now, Bernie Sanders is a communist. Well, he calls himself socialist, but he's really a commie. He went on his honeymoon to Moscow, Russia. He wanted to see Lenin's Museum and Red Square and all that, you know, just to... When you bring your wife on the, to Moscow, Russia on your honeymoon, you know something's weird. You know you're a commie then. But anyway, Bernie Sanders was grilling this Christian. Now, his job doesn't have anything to do with Christianity at all, just doing a good admin job. But Sanders said to him, you're a Christian. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation? The guy said, well, yes, I do. All Christians believe that, or they're not a Christian. So Sanders says to the guy, well, I think you're unfit for office. Because if you believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation, you can't do your job in government good. Well, the guy said, well, I would never discriminate against anybody. Christians don't discriminate, but we have our beliefs. Sanders says, I'm not going to vote for somebody who's a Christian who discriminates and is a hater because they don't believe that this other person, maybe, how can you serve Muslims and Jews and, you know, and Hindus and all that are Americans? And the guy said, well, I serve everybody equally, you know, but I am a Christian. Sanders said, a Christian, listen to this now, Sanders tells the guy, a Christian should not be holding high office because Christians believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation, and therefore you're unfit. Now, here's the problem with that, my friends. First of all, that would mean Christians are excluded from high office. They can't be, you know, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of Justice, Attorney General, Secretary of State, etc. Can't even be president. Can't even be a U.S. senator. Because they believe Jesus is the only way. Then all Christians do, if they're truly a Christian. But here's the big thing. Our Constitution says there will be no religious test for high office. Yes, our founding fathers wanted to make sure that our government was a secular government and no one would be discriminating based on religion. In other words, you can't give a person a test. You can't say, are you Muslim, or are you Buddhist, or are you Jew, or whatever. Now, this is bad because that means nobody can be a fervent believer in anything. Now, Sanders, obviously, he says he's Jewish race, but he doesn't have any religion. He doesn't care. But he's violating the Constitution. He says, I'm not going to vote for a Christian for high office. I'm not going to vote to confirm you. Now, what if the guy was a Muslim? Would Sanders vote for him? Because after all, Muslims believe that only Muhammad is the prophet and only Allah is God. And they discriminate against Christians, do they not? Yes, they do. But you see, you can discriminate against Muslims. Or can you? No, you can't. But you can, Christians. This guy's a nut. He's a wacko. Now, if you voted for Sanders in his last election, you were a nut. Not only is he a pro-abortionist, a Planned Parenthood nut, a wacko, a nutcase, but now he's giving out religious tests. If you're a Christian, you can't hold high office. I think this guy does not deserve to be a senator. We need to get rid of him. Just amazing, isn't it? Hey, meanwhile, did you know the FBI? It seems that the FBI offered a bribe for a computer hacker, who's a Russian, living here in America, and they went to see the guy, and the FBI said, we're going to arrest you for hacking into other people's computers. Well, the guy said, I haven't hacked on anybody's computers. And they says, well, I'll tell you what. If you will plead guilty of hacking into the Democrat National Committee's computers, we'll just give you a small sentence and let you go. Whoa. And you tell people you're from Russia and we've caught you, and we'll make sure the judge doesn't throw the book at you, that he gives you a little, you know, a light sentence and lets you go. See, they were trying to prove that Russia was hacking the Democrat National Committee. And the FBI offered to bribe this guy. Said, we're going to get you one way or another. So why don't you just confess to this crime against the Democratic National Committee? Well, the guy didn't do anything like that. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to confess for something I didn't do. Now, folks, why was the FBI trying to get this guy to confess? Because, you see, they were trying to actually to embarrass and target. They were targeting Donald Trump. They were saying, you know, Russia hacked the DNC. Remember all those WikiLeaks emails? Oh, yeah. Now, somebody stole those emails, didn't they? They hacked into Podesta, the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton. They hacked into and they got all these emails that proved that Podesta and Hillary were crooked and rotten and crooks. And now they're trying to put the blame on this Russian hacker. He said no, and they couldn't pin it on him, so they just dropped the thing. And that shows you what a dishonest FBI we have. Now, to prove that, when James Comey was fired by Donald Trump as head of the FBI, his deputy FBI director, a man named Andrew McCabe, became the boss. He's the boss right now. Now, Trump has got another guy, and he's for the FBI, and he's nominated him. But it'll probably be a couple of months before the legislature gets around to confirming the new FBI director. Meanwhile, this deputy director is the acting director of the FBI, this Andrew McCabe. Now, it turns out that Andrew McCabe is quite a crook himself. His wife received $900,000 from Governor McAuliffe, a Democrat, Obama, Hillary person, the governor of Virginia. $700,000 from him, and then $200,000 from another Democrat. His wife, Andrew McCabe's wife, did. She was running for a political office. And they said, how would you like to have $900,000 in contributions? She said, okay. Now, Andrew McCabe says, well, that was my wife. It's not me. But how is it that he stays there at the FBI? He should recuse himself from investigation of any crimes having to do with the Trump administration, but he hasn't. And not only that, this Andrew McCabe, well, you see the deal here. He's a big Obama supporter. What a crud. Now, it's turned out that recently he may be the leaker that leaked the information about General Flynn of the National Security Council. Yes, Andrew McCabe was probably the leaker. He was mad, Andrew McCabe was, at General Flynn. Now, why was he mad at General Flynn? You see, because when General Flynn was over at the National Security Council himself, there's some woman, I forget her name now, but some woman, an FBI counterterrorism agent, who put in a complaint to the Civil Service Commission saying that Andrew McCabe, the deputy, had attempted to sexually harass her. And she went to see Flynn, and Flynn supported her, gave her a letter for the commission. A letter that said McCabe is dishonest, and I believe that she's telling the truth. So McCabe was brought up on these sex harassment charges by Flynn. And so he goes out and surveys Flynn, wiretaps him and everything, and he brings up these things about Flynn talking with the Russians. Now, listen, this is all a big spider's nest, isn't it? All of these intelligence and FBI agents, and they're all crooks. Boy, Trump needs to get in there and clean this up. It's just, you know, it's... Well, Jerry, think about that. How can you get anything done when you got a crooked FBI and over the Justice Department, the number two person over there by underneath the Attorney General Sessions is Rosenstein. And he's a crook who appointed this guy, Mueller, who's a crook, to be the special counsel to look into things. And Mueller was a 9/11, I believe he's the FBI guy himself during 9/11. And he let all those crooks go from the Bush administration. They're all a bunch of crooks. I mean, the FBI being crooked. Now, I want to quickly add, though, Jerry, I know a lot of FBI agents. You know, there people come down to investigate Power of Prophecy. We have had several agents come by here. And you know, they're pretty nice. They had to do their jobs. They were ordered by Janet Reno's attorney general and Hillary Clinton to come check us out. And they did, and we were very nice to them. You know, I think the FBI has about 40,000 agents across the world, and a lot of more nice guys. But the top ranks, you know, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, they're just crooked. And I'm sure that a lot of the guys at the lower levels of the FBI are pretty sick themselves. Now, what other field, though? Politics is crooked. We know that. And then, of course, the FBI, the intelligence. I mean, where can you go? I mean, do you know of any other career field that's as crooked as these?
No, but maybe it's reached into the church.
Ooh.
We've got a report here from Indianapolis, Indiana, about a pastor at a church there in Indianapolis who was using members of the church and his family to manufacture synthetic marijuana.
Is that right, Jerry? Huh.
And Robert James was the James, J-A-Y-N-E-S, was the pastor at the church, and he's since pled guilty and has been sentenced to 11 and a half years in prison. But, you know, you brought this up in previous programs about guys not wanting to go in the draft, so they went and hid in the seminary and avoided the draft, avoided going to war. Now, a lot of these guys are in charge of the seminaries now.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, they didn't want to go, especially during the Vietnam War. They didn't want to go in, and they were afraid they were going to be drafted. So they just went and joined the seminary, claimed, I want to be a pastor or a minister. Of course, they didn't care at all about the church. But they got their degree in, you know, theology and divinity and all that. Then they went out, and they're a career person. And now you meet them everywhere. They're all up in the top ranks of churches and denominations. Well, we see those guys everywhere. They're just evil. But then this guy here, the pastor,
James,
in Indianapolis. Now, what about the church? Do they know about this? Or
he had employed some of the members of his church. And the ringleader of this drug manufacturing was in real estate. They were partners in real estate back in the 90s.
Boy, watch out for those real estate deals.
So was this pastor really called to the ministry, or was he hiding in the ministry?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Well, listen, folks, you can't not. There's some good pastors. There are very few.
There's not many.
No. You know, I've written a book, and maybe I'll tell the people about that book in just a minute. Churches and Pastors Have Gone Wild. But and they have. And here's another example. This guy, he had a manufacturing facility, and he had his church members working there packaging and distributing these drugs. What was this drug? You said
it's a synthetic marijuana.
Synthetic marijuana.
They call it K2 or Spice.
I've heard of that stuff.
Here in Austin, K2, they sell it to the homeless. And our EMS is flooded with calls, emergency calls, taxpayer dollars going out the window because these guys are paying $10 for this synthetic drug that's just almost killing them.
Well, I suppose this pastor, maybe he wasn't getting enough in tithes and offerings, so he decided to go into the drug business on the side. He and the church members. Well, boy, well, I appreciate that report, Jerry, and Hey, by the way, I understand you're going to be going on vacation later on this next week.
Yes, sir.
Well, who's going to take care of your horse? You got a little ranch there and you got a horse. Who's going to take care of the horse while you're gone?
My brother-in-law through marriage is going to house sit and take care of Edsel and the dogs.
Now, what's the name of that horse again? Ed?
Edsel.
Remember that famous horse, the talking horse, Ed?
Yeah.
This one doesn't talk, though.
No, but he's more ornery than that one.
He's more. Well, now, what happened? Now, he recently, now get this, folks. Jerry Barrett, here in our ministry, he has a place out in the country. And everyone's going to come and give me a little bit report and tell me what's happening. And his horse is named Ed. He and his wife love this horse. And they got some dogs and everything. But now this horse, Ed, it got sick. What happened? It something that it ate there on the farm? It wasn't like horse feed.
He eats everything. We have to really watch him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to worry about their intestines twisting. They call it colic.
Huh.
So there are things that you have to do to ensure that they don't have it or it could be fatal.
Well, what's that weed or grass that they...
It's not K2.
It's not, no, I tell you haven't been giving him K2 marijuana, have you?
No.
Well, I tell you, it's... I know y'all really love that. Now, whatever happened... I'm sorry, I'm sort of diverting us here from going all over all these secrets. But this is important to people. Now, you had a barn, and you painted it red.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, listen. Everybody knows about red barns. I mean, if a barn's not painted red, maybe it's not a real barn. I don't know. I've never had a barn, you know, myself. But it was painted red, and your neighbors complained about the red color.
Yes, they didn't like the structure, period. But
oh.
I had approval from the Property Owners Association. To put it there.
That's good.
And my neighbor loves it.
Oh, your neighbor loves it. Your next door neighbor.
She sees it every day. She loves it. Just, so we're good.
Oh, you're good. Well, does a horse like it? That's a big question.
Every day at 5:30 when he gets fed grain, he loves it.
Oh, okay. The horse likes it. You and your wife liked it. The neighbor loves it. You got it made. All
got it made.
All right. Well, this is a strange, I would call it sort of a horsey story in a way. From the London Daily Mail. Jerry, you listen to this one. This is incredible. Now, I had a whole program recently about bones. How in the Catholic Church they use bones. And then these New Agers love bones. The Satanists love bones. They love skulls. Well, it seems that British royalty used to dine on human flesh and bones and blood. Now, I know you've seen these zombie movies and all, but I'm telling you, let me read you this from the London Daily Mail newspaper. It says, they have long been famous for their love of lavish banquets and rich recipes. But what is less well known is that the British royals also had a taste for human flesh. It goes on to say, a new book on medicinal cannibalism, now get that name, medicinal cannibalism, has revealed that possibly as recently as the end of the 18th century, British royalty swallowed parts of the human body. Now, that's the end of the 18th century. That's about the time that our Declaration of Independence came up. So we were fighting the British then. And who was it? King George. Of course, they had King George. Now, King George may have been eating all his human flesh and bones. And they said he was a little crazy. And so we wanted our freedom. Well, I can see why we wanted to. I don't know. There's no evidence that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington had anything to do with this. This is the elite of in the British royalty, and evidently over on the continent also. Well, it says this was a political practice mainly reserved for monarchs and their elite. Here are some of the people that were involved in it. Charles II. Also, Francis I, Elizabeth I, surgeon John Bannister, Elizabeth Grey, the Countess of Kent, Robert Boyle, Thomas Wills, William III, and Queen Mary. I bet that's bloody Queen Mary, huh? But in any case, it says cannibalism was found not only in the New World among the Indians, but also in Europe. And doctors would make potions sort of this stuff and put it in jars and sell it. And it also, listen to this, Dr. Suggs, S-U-G-G-S, has written a book about this. He says they call this corpse medicine, a human corpse, C-O-R-P-S-E. And it was very expensive. And you would go and have bits of bone and you would grind it up and put it in medicine and, you know, for whatever ailed you. And then blood too. They say here that the victims of the guillotine and being hung, especially the guillotine, they were used because when the head is chopped off, blood spurted. And they said all these poor people would be there with vessels to catch all the blood. Then they would take it home and mix it up with other medicinal things and sell it. Can you imagine? Hey, this blood came from the neck of so-and-so who's a serial killer, I guess. I guess that made it more important. But in any case, they call it medicinal cannibalism. Now, this was even popular in Denmark and in Germany all the way up to 1865. So when we had the Civil War, Germans were over there eating human flesh and such. Wow. Folks, it's not just in movies. This was real life. Real life. Well, enough of that. The pastor who's into drug making up in Indianapolis and the British royalty and, whew, I tell you, this gets me wore out just looking at these crazy secrets I'm telling people today. Well, Jerry, now here's something nice. Folks, I got a nice letter from Dr. Maria. I'm not going to tell you her last name, but you may want to contact her or something. But Dr. Maria, is a medical doctor and also a clinical neurologist. And she wrote to me, let me just read you this. It's very interesting. Dear Tex, I want to really congratulate you about your recent radio program, Power Prophecy. Concerning your program on robots, entitled Robots and DNA Science Advance. As a medical doctor and a clinical neurologist, I was completely convinced years ago that psychopaths were not human, but satanically possessed. I could not share this feeling with any other colleague, not even born-again Christians here in Greece. She comes from the country of Greece, by the way. Dr. Maria continues, imagine me when I heard you saying that psychopaths are not humans. You bet they are not, she says. I've been studying them since 1995 as a neurologist and later as a born-again Christian. The Lord put me into deep spiritual paths from the beginning. I guess he knows best. I have been having horrifying experiences with these non-human beings, which classical medicine calls psychopaths. But when I press these people, some of them admitted they are possessed. Man. Of course they are. Folks, they have no feelings. They don't have any sympathy or empathy for their victims. They're glad they're dead. They laugh about it. They're possessed by demon spirits. They have no, I call it souls. They have no souls. It's true. So anyway, Dr. Maria says, I really thank you for your program. I listen to it here on the internet, as I have been doing for the last 6 years. Well, thank you, Dr. Maria. I appreciate it. I want to hear again from you. Tell me about your experiences with these psychopaths. Hey, I better save this to the second half of the program. It'll get a little heavy here. It's about Ceres, the god, C-E-R-E-S, the goddess. She's in Chicago. I saw her statue. I did. But we'll talk about the goddess Ceres. When we return, you're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is another volume of Secrets. I'm Tex Mars. Hello again, this is Tex Mars. You know, I received a letter from a gentleman recently. He said, Tex, I was shocked when I bought your book entitled Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. I thought it would be an interesting book, he said, and it is. It's very interesting, but Then I got to page 48, and there's a story about my church there and pastor. It seems that my pastor was involved with giving out condoms during the church service. She would pass them out with the offering plate, and people would take gobs of these condoms and take them home with them. And then our pastor was advising the congregation to have safe sex, whether they were married or not. Use these condoms and enjoy yourself. She said that passing out these condoms was for her just like partaking of Holy Communion. Say what? He said, I realized then, as I read your article, I realized my pastor is nuts, and I've left that church. Well, I don't know what it took that to read my book. You should have known she was nuts. She's a Lutheran pastor, by the way. They can be in any denomination, Baptist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, Presbyterian. They're just apostates. They are. And I want you to have this book. If you don't have this book, it's pretty revealing, very explanatory. I have probably over 100 stories in there, true stories, all about pastors throughout the world. And they're pretty shocking. Pastors and churches gone wild. Jerry, I think that's what, $20 for this book?
$22,
okay. It's in color. It's a big book. Pastors and churches gone wild. You'll see a lot of color pictures in there. And, man, I hope your church folks is not into this stuff, but a lot of churches are. Pastors and churches gone wild, $22. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $27. And of course, send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Pastors and churches gone wild. Hey, you can go to our website too, powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. Use your charge card or maybe that PayPal. You can go there and buy it right off the front page, our home page, for $27 total. We'll get it right out to you. You know, this has been so successful, I may have to do another volume of that before long. There's just so many wacko pastors out there. And, you know, what does it take to be a servant of God? Well, it takes faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ and belief in Him. And if you have faith in Jesus Christ and you believe what he said was true, you're not going to go astray. So these people, they don't really believe. They don't have faith in Jesus. They wouldn't be trying to come up with something new all the time. Now, I've been in this ministry for, I guess, 32 years. And you know, I've been on the radio about 30 or 31 years. And we've never passed out condoms in this ministry. That's private. You know, I'm not going to be talking about sexual things you do. Unless, of course, they're evil. But if you're married, you know, the Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. Do what you want if you're married. I mean, that's between you and God and your wife or husband. But these people, I mean, it talks about a church in Pig Alley. When you go to the door of the church, they've got some ushers there to assist you for the seating. And these ushers are quite different. You see, they're big, burly, bearded Catholic nuns. They're transvestites. Now, everybody, that's not a real church. It's painted pink and, oh my goodness. Come on, folks. Oh, well, now I have a lot of tales and stories that I tell you. They're true. Every one of these are true. They're from news accounts or from my own personal experience. Boy, and I've been throughout America seeing these crazy people. And they're butchering the truth of God. They're not of God, or they wouldn't be doing these crazy, wild things. Pastors and churches gone wild. Now, you can order this book by writing us at Power of Prophecy or to text Morris, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, call us at 1-800, that's toll free, 234 1-800-633-9673. And now let's return to our program. We have a volume of secrets today. And I promised when we started this program that I would tell you about Ceres. There's a goddess named Ceres. And you know, the Freemasons, they believe in Ceres. And they have these cornerstone layings for buildings. Maybe you have a post office station in your hometown, or a bank building, or a city hall, or some kind of a government building, and you see a bronze plaque on it. And it talks about that the cornerstone for this building was laid by Freemasons. They're all over the United States. It has their names and so forth. So the cornerstone laying is a big deal. And you know, they even have over 200 years ago, they laid the cornerstone for the U.S. Capitol building. Cornerstone laying. Now I can talk all day about cornerstone laying and tell you why they do it, but they anoint the building, the cornerstone of the building, the first stone laid. They anoint it with oil and with shucks of wheat and corn. You see, because they're worshiping the goddess of agriculture. That's right. She's the goddess of corn and, you know, corn oil and wheat and so forth. Her name is Ceres. And the name cereal, you know, like you buy cereal, Post Toasties or Kellogg's, Corn Flakes or whatever. You buy them in cereal. They call it cereal because that name comes from the goddess Ceres. And by the way, there's a town in California that the Freemasons named Ceres, California. I bet you went through, maybe you drove through or visited Ceres one day, or maybe you're from Ceres and you didn't even know your name was a goddess name. Well, you know, Juan and I, we visited Chicago. I was on a number of TV programs and radio programs up there some years ago. And now I know they have a lot of bad crime going on there and such, but the downtown area is pretty nice along the riverfront. And we were driving around and we ended up in the commercial district. Now these big old buildings, bank buildings, financial buildings, many stories high. As I was driving around there in downtown Chicago, I noticed this building. Way up high, on top of it, was a big statue of a woman. And I was pretty shocked about it, to tell you the truth. And I got out, and I found they had a big old bronze plaque there at the base of the building. And it said that this building is dedicated to the goddess of agriculture, Ceres. And it turned out that the world's commodity markets were, at that time, operated from Chicago, Illinois, the agriculture markets, the commodity markets. So you could buy corn and, I guess, hog bellies and pork bellies and, you know, all kind of agricultural products, wherever you were in the world. They were bought and sold in Chicago, the commodities markets. It's like the stock market, you know. And they said Ceres is overlooking Chicago. She's like the patron saint of Chicago. Now, you Chicago people just didn't know you had a goddess over, you know, watching over things, did you? Well, and they worship her, the Masons do, when they have a cornerstone laying. Amazing. Now, her flower, she had a flower, you know, devoted to her. It was the poppy. Now, the poppy is used for heroin, to make heroin. So I guess, you know, you take the poppy, you make it into heroin, and you take that, and your mind goes into la-la land. Okay? And then you start thinking about the goddess. And, you know, it's like a tranquilizer, like an LSD or something. The goddess Ceres. This is sort of interesting, isn't it? They worship the goddess Ceres in Freemasonry. Interesting. Hey, by the way, I was also seeing another guy as I was visiting Atlanta, Georgia, and I went down to a building they used for the city hall. They had the city council there and so forth. We met some folks, and I noticed in the city council building where they were deliberating, had a big auditorium, and on the wall was a big statue of a woman, and she was holding up a big bird that was flying out of her hand. And I looked very close, and it was a phoenix bird. And she was releasing it into the air. A phoenix bird. Wow. And they said it represented Atlanta, Georgia, being resurrected from the ashes. The phoenix bird, of course, is a worm that in these flames and ashes, it converts itself, or turns itself into a bird, a phoenix bird. Now, many people mistake the eagle for the phoenix. Pretty interesting. But in any case, that was Atlanta's symbol. And I understand down at the city park there, they have another goddess, and she's also releasing into the air a phoenix bird. And throughout America, we have these goddesses and gods, and we don't even realize them. But I tell you, I hope you get a copy of my book, Mysterious Monuments. And I've got another book coming out very soon, about 3 months. It's going to be called Hell's Mirror. Now, we don't have it for sale now, but I'll let you know in about 3 more months. It's called Hell's, H-E-L-L apostrophe S, Mirror. And it'll have a lot of pictures of the demonic statues and memorials and so forth. Hell's Mirror. Well, you know, you think America is lily pure? You think we were founded by Christians? And then you understand all of this stuff. When they have, you know, I was in the big statue of Vulcan in Birmingham, Alabama. They have a hill there, and you drive up to the hill, and then you see this gigantic statue of Vulcan, the goddess of the fire, the goddess of flame, the blacksmith goddess. Or I'm sorry, forgive me. He's married to Athena, I believe, but he's a god. He's not a goddess. But there is this giant statue, like 56 foot tall. Now, you think Birmingham is the center of the Bible Belt, right? Southern Baptists are right there. Now, they don't have anything to do with the god Vulcan, do they? I mean, this Greco-Roman god? What's Vulcan doing up a big statue there? And what's Ceres doing in Chicago? And what's Athena doing in Nashville? And of course, outside of New York, there's a huge statue in the harbor there. It's called the Statue of Liberty. And that's the goddess. Look at her head. She's the sun goddess. She has the sun rays behind her head. And it goes on and on, folks. Oh, yes. Boy. Well, Newt Gingrich, former House Speaker, says a lot of bad people are after Donald Trump. Boy. You know, it's interesting. A lot of bad people are after Trump. Well, an article in the New York Post by, I think it's a guy named Goodwin, who's a good, pretty good guy, says that they've been after Trump for about a year now, trying to get him and say that he has been colluding with the Russians. But it flopped. The Democrats couldn't get him on that. And now their accusations against Trump have turned back on them. Now, that's the way God does things, folks. You start accusing somebody, and you're putting out, bearing false witness, and it may come back on you. And now all the Democrats, they're all tap dancing and high-stepping and everything because they're all getting caught in their own lies. It turns out the only one colluding with Russia is Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Hillary sold 20% of our uranium to Russia when she was the Secretary of State. 20% of our nation's uranium, and that's what they used to make atomic bombs. And it seems that shortly after she did that, the Russians came over and gave it free, $140 million for the Clinton Foundation. Get that, folks. They gave her a gift of $140 million, which she placed in the Clinton Foundation. These foundations are corrupt. The Carnegie Foundation, the Ford Foundation, they're all a bunch of bums. But especially the Clinton Foundation. They're crooked, I'll tell you. They're like a fifth leg on a dog. You know, it's crooked too. It should be. Well, in any case, Newt Gingrich says that Robert Mueller was appointed by the Justice Department as a special counsel to look into these Russian Trump allegations, which now have been proven to be false. But he's still looking after him. I don't know what he's doing. It seems that Mueller has been hiring some bad people to work with him. He hired one of these lawyers from the Clinton Foundation. Think about that. He hired all these Obama people to work with him. Well, I'm sure that Obama lawyers would not find Donald Trump guilty, would they? No. Why, they're honest people. We know that. We know Mr. Mueller is very honest. He's good friends with Comey. Now, I know he should recuse himself, but that's a little harsh, don't you think? Surely, surely. But Gingrich says Mueller has hired all these bad people who are all after Trump. Now, it doesn't look like Trump's worried too much about it. He just keeps on going. He's like the Energizer Bunny. And Goodwin in his article says these things have boomeranged against the Democrats. It's sort of like the Bible says, what they use for evil, God uses for good. Isn't that astonishing? What the Democrats are using for evil, well, Donald Trump is using for good. It's amazing. Newt Gingrich said it would happen. He was on ABC's Good Morning America. Well, he's a fool for going on there, but in any case, you know, this fake media thing is getting big, isn't it? Fake media. I've been approached for different radio interviews. I told people to get lost. For example, a woman named Meyer, M-A-Y-E-R, I think her first name was Jane, and she writes for the New Yorker magazine, Jane Meyer. And I read that magazine sometimes just to see what kind of baloney they put out. And they had all these stories at the time talking about how wonderful, you know, Hillary Clinton is their queen and all that. And, Bill Clinton is a genius and, you know, all this just nonsense. And one day I got a phone call from Miss Meyer. She said she was doing a story in the New Yorker magazine and she would like to interview me. I said, well, what is your story all about? She said, well, I'd like to interview you because I want to interview people who are Clinton haters, haters of Hillary Clinton. Well, I had just written a book called Big Sister is Watching You. But Jane Meyer said, we'd like to interview you and ask you why you hate Hillary Clinton. And I said, well, you just want to make fun of people like me. I'm a Christian and that's what you want to make fun of that. I'm not going to let you do that. Get lost. I told her, you know, you're making a serious mistake here, and I'm just not going to talk to you. Bye. And she tried to call back, and she was very upset about it. You see, it turns out that she's won all kind of awards, and her stories always get played in their all the big newspapers up in New York City, and she just couldn't understand why. She called back and told my secretary, well, Mr. Mars needs to know we will probably have millions reading this article, and it'll quote him. And the secretary came to see me. I said, don't waste my time. Tell that woman go, you know, not take a flying leap, but just go somewhere else. But you've written a best-selling book called Big Sister is Watching You, and she wanted to interview you. I said, well, I'm sure she does. You know, she wants to blast me and point out what a goddess Hillary is. But I'm not buying it. I'm busy. Go see somebody else. Well, she got mad at me. She was mad. And not too long, another Jane. I think she's in all kind of magazines, and she was the editor in the Newsweek magazine and so forth. Jane Quinn, I think her name was. She wanted to do a story about Hillary Clinton. And I said, you know, I'm not going to be on your show. I don't worry about your writing. So they just waste your time. You know, I want to do things for Jesus Christ. I want to expose the darkness and profile the light of the world whose name is Jesus Christ. That's what I want to do. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to expose Hillary Clinton and talk about the light. But they want to tell me how great Hillary is. Well, just wasting my time, Hey, did you know that George Orwell, who wrote, you know, the book 1984, the novel, and Aldous Huxley, who wrote the book Brave New World, knew each other and communicated back and forth to each other. Pretty interesting. I have an article about it. And you see, it seems that George Orwell had just put out his masterpiece, 1984. And he sent a copy of it to Aldous Huxley and wanted to know his opinion, what he thought about it. Well, it seems that Aldous Huxley said, well, you've written a good book. And I'll tell you how he responded. You've written a good book, but it's not as good as my book, which I think will go further and last longer and sell more copies. Well, that didn't happen. George Orwell's book probably sold 5 or 6 times as many copies. Now, I think this is interesting, isn't it, that Aldous Huxley and George Orwell are writing each other? By the way, George Orwell, for a time, was a communist. Did you know that, folks? He was a communist. He went over to Spain to fight in the revolution, joined the revolution because he believed in Joseph Stalin. And they made him editor of a communist newspaper in Spain. And then one day his friend asked him to go to lunch together and said, George, you need to get out of Spain. You need to go into hiding. He said, why, what have I done? Well, he says, you have been chosen to be killed. They're going to arrest you and put you on trial and kill you. Of course, you know, if you were arrested by the communist, it seems that they always, you know, they would, it's sort of like the judge would say, okay, bring in the guilty man. let's give him a trial and find him guilty, of course. And George was shocked. He said, well, I've done so much for communism. I've done this and I've done that and I've been fighting and working here, doing these newspapers for the communist. What have they got against me? He says, well, you know too much, George. You know what they're really up to. You know who they're killing. You know who they're putting in jail cells. You know about the communist. And now they want to kill you for that. They don't want you to tell others. He says, well, I would like to tell the true story. The whole story about communism. Well, that's what we don't want. That's what will be, you know, published somewhere else. That's what they do, see. You have to understand this, folks. They don't want the truth to be out. They want a lie. And that's what's happening today, too, with the false media. They were going to arrest George Orwell and say, look at all the bad things he's been doing as editor of this communist newspaper. He was trying to serve the communists. They were going to serve him, all right. You know, it's like the science fiction story. I think it's called They Wish to Serve. And everybody was shocked at these. This UFO landed here on Earth. And they seemed to be so friendly and nice. And they told them, the human people, we want to bring some of you back to our planet. We want to serve you, they said. We just want to serve you. Well, that sounded nice. And many people believed them. These people were so advanced, these aliens from outer space. Why, they could even cure cancer. And all they wanted was for some people to go back to their planet with them and find out all these new techniques of science and so forth. But just as they were going up the gangplank and getting on the big spaceship, being herded in, somebody comes running up. You see, they had a book, but it was coded. It was, you know, it had a magical kind of language, and these scientists were decoding it. And they found out the book was about, it was entitled, We Shall Serve You. And so they, you know, they began, and these people are going up the gangplank, these human beings, and up runs these scientists and said, we have decoded the book. Get off that spacecraft. Hurry. Get off. The book is a cookbook. We wish to serve you. They wanted to serve the human beings as food. That's a problem, isn't it? So they wanted to serve George Orwell up for, I guess, food for human consumption. But he and Aldous Huxley and Brave New World talked about it. Brave New World sold a lot of copies, but 1984, boy, that's really selling. is still going big today. So, now you know about George Orwell. And by the way, he quickly left Spain, went back to Great Britain. He escaped the communist. And he began to rethink his views. And that's why he wrote in 1984, he said, you know, this is what the communists do. Big brother. Big brother. The communism. And I assisted them. I helped them. I know about them. Maybe that helped him write the book. Maybe even better, right? Well, there's a teenager in Israel who evidently he was putting out bomb hoaxes here in America. He was over in Israel. He was an Israelite. He was a Jew. And he would call up these synagogues and say that he's got a bomb planted. He'd say, I hate the Jews. And I have a bomb planted in your synagogue. And of course, they'd go bananas trying to find the bomb and all, and they'd cancel their church service and so forth. And then the FBI found out this Israeli teenager was doing all this bomb hoaxing all the way from Israel. Seems that he had these this computer system and had these phones and all that stuff. And he appears to be working for the Israeli government. Of course, he would do all these bomb hoaxes, and then the Israeli government would put these stories in the press. And so they said some Muslim who hates Jews, or some Christian who hates Jews, are creating all these bomb hoaxes. They said they're going to bomb a synagogue. But it turns out it was a Jewish youth. A Jewish teenager. And he was being paid by the Israeli government to create all these false flag situations. That's amazing, isn't it? Just amazing. Well, Israeli prosecutors were told about this guy, and the FBI asked for him to be sent to America for his trial. But you know what? They say he can't face trial in the United States. He must stay in Israel. Oh, yes. He did hundreds, up to 200 false attacks. He was creating all these hoaxes, and he had, you know, big TV antenna, and his father was helping him. And so Israel was hoaxing all these bombs themselves. Right now, they're creating a hoax saying that Assad of Syria is bombing his own people, and America, then they know, will go over there and try to do something about it. But it's not. If there's any bombing going on in Syria at all, it's what the Jews are going to do. The Jews, they do it, and they blame Israel or Syria for bombing its own people. Oh, boy. Better watch out. Better watch out. Well, I guess that finishes secrets today. A lot of secrets today. And I love to expose them. Don't you love to hear them? I really do. Especially I love Jerry Barrett's exposure of this pastor from Indianapolis who's got a dope manufacturing ring and using members of his own church. Isn't that the great apostasy? You know, it's here, folks. Just as Jesus Christ said it would be. That's from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it's here. It's been great being with you, my friends. And my great prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.